Very fucking unprofessional.
Started jumping, what a day. Swear to God, I need it now, I can't afford to wait. I just had a fan hit me up from Kuwait. Told him this would happen, and we not a minute late. Chin him down bad, now they tryna hate. Same ones try to hit me for the raise. Got a mail, now they coming with a place. Check the numbers, I'm getting paid. I'm a don, just like the Perrier. It's one time when I'm looking at a face. On the low, like I'm pushing up the base.
This is without a shadow of a doubt. The talk of the town, what your town is talking about. Unprofessional as fuck, with your host Ruck. This is episode 227.
That's why I got it for the taste. Phone started jumping, what a day. Swear to God, I need it now, I can't afford to wait. I just had a fan.
Shout out to the homie Vic Sage for taking advantage of that submission.
And we not a minute late.
This track is called Kuwait. Those of y'all who are sleeping, man, unprofessionalafpodcast@gmail.com is where you send your music. And we surely gonna use that joint. We finally did it, man. You know what I mean? This week was a tough one. A lot of shit hanging in the balance, some stressful things. We'll get to it, but we made it to another Friday. Congratulations to us. Now, I mean, personally, on the business side of things, you know, aside from the pod, the regular 9-to-5, had some shakeups, man. Somebody was let go of the company. It's always unfortunate when stuff like that happens, but you know, when opportunity knocks, you gotta be available for it. You gotta be ready for it, and that was kind of the position I was thrust into this week. A sales position open, territory sales position. So that means, you know, a lot of responsibility, a lot of opportunity, and a lot of expectations. Not to say in the current, you know, job path that I'm at now, a lot of that doesn't fall into that as well. But you know, when you start talking about places where results are needed in a different type of way, like for me, as long as people who work with me or you know, I work for, don't hear any kind of bad news, and they look at that basically as a good thing. In the occasion that somebody goes out of their way to make sure to shed a positive light on you, that definitely works in your benefit. I think a combination of a bunch of things. You know, obviously the position wouldn't be open had said person not been let go. But on top of that, I feel like, you know, I've kind of really just been finding my groove and getting into a zone of my own lately in my 9-to-5 way. You know what I mean? Like, as much as I preach here, like, you know, if you could do the most for a company or for some like entity or business where you basically are just a small piece of the puzzle rather than the big picture, then you should also, you know, be able to do that for yourself. In the reverse side of things, it was like with just a bunch of different changes going on in my life and just getting past a place where I felt like, you know, I was discouraged at a point in time. I know I came to the pod before and talked about end of year reviews and how that went and how that kind of left a foul taste in my mouth as far as, you know, the company was concerned. But at a certain point, it's make it or break it, right? You can't really sit here and wait for the world to change around you. You got to become that change within yourself. With that being said, I just got past that, found a different way to channel the energy. Decided that rather than sit here and sulk on things and, you know, pity is me, that I would be like, nah, what do I do to make sure that there's absolutely no way that that could be the case next year? Should, you know, be here, God willing, you know, in the company and as a whole. And then that just started to kind of change my train of thought and the way that I was going out and about things. And I've always had a sense of pride in anything that I do. If I'm going to dedicate time to it, I feel like time is our biggest possession. Like, it's something you'll never get back. So to me, if I'm going to dedicate my time to something, I want to make sure that it's done at a high level. With that being said, this opportunity came knocking, but there were some pros and there were some cons. This entire week, you know, as I tell you guys a lot, I drive around for a good portion of my job. And it just leaves you with your thoughts. And this, you know, usually they're all over the place. This week it was very honed in on the work, on how this could positively affect the family, ways in which it could do more harm than good. I want to shout out my manager, man. You know, he has no way. He's not really involved in this change. It would be a whole different career path. But he was, like, really gung-ho and excited for me and decided that he would be willing to travel out here, you know, in his personal time. Wrapped up what he had going on work-wise on a Friday, decided he would fly out on, you know, later in that evening, if not Saturday morning. I don't know the specifics. But by the time y'all are hearing this, I should be, you know, sitting down and discussing this with him at a dinner where he's going to put me in the best position with all the information to make my choice going forward. I want to always show appreciation for people who do things like this, who absolutely do not have to. So clap it up. And let me also be honest that also plays a big part in the decision-making process as well. Not to shoot disparaging words in anybody's direction, but the person who I would be underneath had I decided to take this job, you know, if I do, it's going to be a complete 180 from what relationship I have now. This is the person in the past who I've got into it with on multiple occasions. I don't really feel like there's any genuine in this human being's body. I guess there goes the disparaging, right? And the current relationship I have with my manager now was some of the best, like, vibes I've ever had with a coworker in general, much less somebody in management position above me. So it's a whole lot of stuff to take in, a whole lot of information I'm going to need and do a checks and balances and the pros and cons and really put it out on paper in front of me and think about currency over quality. What I mean by that is, of course, there's going to be a pay increase and an opportunity for more advantages and being able to do more things, which is always something you have to take into account, especially with the family. But is this going to do more harm than good? Is this going to be an instance where you go and switch up and end up working for somebody who was the antithesis of what your current situation is, that has you in a good state of mind, you know what I mean? Regardless of how the review went and how I was dealing with that for a portion of time, like, end all be all, I really feel like I'm in a great position that I'm in now for all aspects of life, not just in business, but opportunity to grow in the future. Maybe a slower burn, a longer grind. But with that being said, I feel like my peace of mind and my morale will be good for the most part. I feel like I'll be able to leave whatever work stuff, you know, that could go either way at the door if it's negative, before entering my home or any home stuff at the door on my way out, you know, before checking into my business. So I feel like that is something you can't really put a price on, or a pay rate, or a salary. But then in turn, you know, as a man, it's just always, it's going to fuck with you. You're going to have these thoughts in your mind, like, am I making the right decision? Am I doing the right thing? Am I putting my family in the best position? Am I going to be blinded by the carrot dangling in front of my face and then go after it and realize that it's a trap in the long run? I know that from the outside ears listening, it might sound like this is ultra dramatic, but it's really like make or break. And it was a great and a bad thing at the same time, and I'll shed some light on that. You know, it was just the timing. As at the time that y'all listened to this, not only is that dinner going on, but little sis is getting married, man. Let's clap it up, man. When I was talking about Joe on the Joe Show on the Patreon, and I discussed, like, you know, extended family and those who take you in and treat you like their own, I spoke a lot about this family and little sis of the fam, man. She's getting married to, by this time that y'all hearing this, her husband Mark, and that's just amazing, man. Like, I was so upset to have to text her and let her know that I wasn't going to be able to make it, me and the wife, and that we'd be missing the ceremony. It was tougher than, you know, even this decision that I'm dealing with now. More so because you just never know how people are going to take things, but in true Angie fashion, she texts back saying that her and Mark were both, you know, happy for me, excited, and giving me congratulations at a time when I should be doing all those things for them. So, even though I'm not able to be there in person, and, you know, me and the wife ain't able to be there in person, we want to let y'all know that in spirit we will forever be with y'all. That although we're not there, you know, in the physical, our best wishes and our prayers are forever with y'all. pray that you guys, you know, always find a way to be on the same page going forward in your lives. Know that, you know, you got to be a team. If y'all set something in stone, then y'all rock with that and just be confident in your guys' decisions. Be together at all times. In moments where there's disagreements, because there will no doubt be disagreements, just find a way to always get back and reset prior to going to bed. That y'all just continue to have this love and this passion and all the above that you guys have at this moment throughout the duration of the rest of y'all lives, and you know, obviously this beautiful marriage and joint, you know, union of you two. Continue to build your family with the love that y'all express for each other today and every day, and I know that y'all gonna be better than good. Y'all be great going forward. So again, congratulations to my sister and my brother on the wonderful day. Shout out to y'all. More orders of business before we get into the regular show, man. Co-host, I'm on the hunt for the UAF sports shows. Can I do some of this? You know, does this get tiring sometimes? Just, you know, speaking into the microphone, nobody in front of me, no back and forth banter, no ability to play on things, crack jokes. Sometimes it gets tiring. I could do that on a regular pod, it's fine. But on the sports show, you kind of need a difference of opinions. You kind of need the banter back and forth for things to flow the way that they should. With that being said, anybody who feels like they got a sports mind and wants to, you know, join the discussion, sit at the table, get to talk on, and let's talk about it. The same place where you submit them songs, hit it up. You know what I mean? If it's not my socials, if it's not to me directly, unprofessionalafpodcast@gmail.com. Submit, you know, what you think your vision for a sports show is. Give me a brief, you know, synopsis, maybe like recap a game in type. And then eventually, you know, we'll talk about it in person and figure something out. I've always said I had a few people in mind, and it takes, you know, them being willing to do it. Sometimes they got to see it and be around it to believe it. It's understandable. But one thing that we will not be doing as far as the co-host is concerned is coercing somebody to be a part. Enabling a lack of work ethic. Jumping through hoops in order to have somebody, you know, aligned with the vision. The same way you wouldn't just go drop off your child at a stranger's house is the same way I feel about this podcast. For somebody to be a part of this thing going forward as a whole, you got to be willing to be invested mentally. You know, your off days got to not be off days. You got to be sitting there thinking of ways to produce better, to get the show better. Clips, stories, songs. Whatever it may be, you know what I mean? You got to look at this through a bigger lens. It's got to be a part of everything. I want to see notebooks. I want to see, you know, people jotting shit down during their everyday lives and getting to it. So that's just something I'm throwing out there, y'all. Y'all do with it what you may. And then, of course, man, the music submissions as well. I definitely want to be playing music in the background and have a music bag for the sports show, which is going to be difficult. If you don't own it, then don't send it. But if it's yours and you're doing this thing independent and from the ground up, I would love to be a part of that process as well. So please remember, send that to the Gmail and I will start posting that. I'll make a extra little link on my bio in IG for y'all to do that as well. Lastly, Patreon growth. I want to thank all the new patrons personally, and I'm going to do that through text and through message on the app itself. But I want to thank all of y'all right now where you listen to the pod regularly and just tell y'all I appreciate y'all. Beyond words, man. I mean, to continue the drive, to continue getting this thing done, to see, you know, some light at the end of the tunnel where things get dim at times, to maintain that consistency, the motivation, the inspiration. Y'all do more for me in that regards than y'all will ever know. If you like the content, if you feel like it's something dope over there, share it with a partner, share it with your friends, let them know, give them the link. Anytime you refer somebody over to the pod, you let me know, they let me know it came directly from you, I got something for y'all in the mail, if not hand to hand in person, so please keep that in mind. With that being said, let's get to it. Let's talk about the state of the state. Starting to be a common theme, man. Californians are fed up. Multitude of reasons. I could give you a handful off the top of my head. But it's affecting everybody, man, from the youth to the elderly, even some of the OGs. I'll make that make sense. Just from a off the top of the head standpoint, though, I mean, y'all could think about it. Businesses forced to close doors due to fixable issues, in my opinion. We know about the smash and grabs that are going down, the kind of, you know, catch and release type thing that goes on these days as far as what many consider petty crimes. I don't. I think that when you go inside of a business and you make it to where that place is no longer functioning the way that it was, not only is that just, you know, causing the minor harm that you see in front of you, but on top of that, it could escalate to huge situations. On top of that, it could hinder businesses from being able to do what they got to do, which is shockingly the case in California more often than not. And this time, you know what I mean? Just to put things in perspective, think about a business booming is in and out. Think about any time you've been in any city, regardless of where you're at, in California or the expanded places now, the line that you could count on being at in and out at all times, whether inside or at the drive-thru. I guess even that wasn't enough to keep people connected to In-N-Out in Oakland as they decided to shut their doors.
Oakland is losing its In-N-Out burger, and the restaurant is blaming crime. In-N-Out's chief operating officer tells ABC 7 that customers and associates of the Oakport Street location are regularly victimized by car break-ins, property damage, theft, and armed robberies. He says the store is still profitable, but safety is their top priority. Employees will be transferred to nearby locations or receive a severance package. The store's last day of business will be Sunday, March 24th.
Think about it, y'all. Don't end there. A place like In-N-Out that busy when they cite that they're still making money, but due to just the circumstances, trying to look out for not only their employees, but their patrons, they got to go this route. Just seems a little off, you know, off-putting to say the absolute least. Think about how all these malls have become ghost towns in prominent cities like San Francisco and even, you know, around the Bay and in some of the smaller cities as well. Of course, online shopping started the bleeding, but when you look at these smash and grabs and no consequences attached to them, it's definitely finished the job. I know I kind of clown Keith Lee for his visit and kind of, you know, just the way that he went about things, but it's very apparent that even him side of the homelessness and the crime and just, you know, things that he was hearing as deterrents for even spending time, didn't even release any of the content from his time here. As a content creator myself, I can tell you that if I travel to another place, bring all of my things with me, all of my entities, my family is for one thing, my time, my effort, my money for, you know, of course, the other intangibles, I'd be really irritated if I can't use any content from this trip if it was all in all, you know, loss. He's out here still blessing people, you know, left chunky tips at certain places. That's to be, you know, respected and appreciated. But to come over here and waste, you know, your time in the grand scheme of things for what your actual, you know, trip out there was for, just seems a little crazy. On top of that, carjacking with a child in the whip, I'm sure it happens more often than not. I'm gonna let y'all hear the clip. We'll go from there.
Shocking video shows the moment. A suspect driving a stolen vehicle suddenly stops with a 2-year-old boy in his lap, carries him out of the car, leaves the boy, and drives off. The 2-year-old boy is left wandering alone. Less than a minute later, a bus driver stops and calls for help.
They found a child. And the police said a vehicle had pulled over and dropped the child off and then fled. It's a black male juvenile, about 2 years old.
People in the area begin to come out of their businesses to help the 2-year-old.
It just happened just right outside my front door right there. These things happen don't really surprise me anymore because it's just crime is on a upswing.
This is the emotional moment when the boy was reunited with his mom in San Leandro. He had been in the back seat of their vehicle when the car was stolen outside their home in Oakland. We pieced together how the boy was found in San Leandro, 4 miles from home. Turns out a police officer in San Leandro had been listening to the Oakland police radio.
I actually heard that Oakland was investigating a stolen vehicle that may have involved a child being taken with it. So once our officers were able to make that connection, we notified OPD that we had an infant found.
Police officers arrived on scene and confirmed the two-year-old was the same boy who had been kidnapped in the stolen vehicle.
It's a great feeling, I think, for all the officers involved who were able to reunite the child with their family members. It's always, you know, great to be able to bring about a happy ending for a kid.
As the mother held her two-year-old, she gave police a key tool to go after the suspect. In her car, she left her iPhone and AirPods, key devices in this search.
Her cell phone as well as her AirPods were still inside of her vehicle. So she was fortunate enough that she was able to get a friend's phone and utilize the Find My iPhone application.
All right, the clip's long. Y'all get the gist. On top of that, I don't really want to victim shame, but you have to think about it, man. When in a place where you know better than to leave a phone charger, your phone, you know, a purse, even change sometimes in your fucking, in your dash. Leaving your child just seems a little crazy to me. Oakland being kind of, you know, one of the epicenters of all these things going on. To me, I understand, you know, the hassles of a car seat, etc., all them things that go along with things like that. But I'd rather be inconvenienced and irreconcilable. Just my, you know, humble opinion. I'm not the only one sharing his opinion these days about what's going on. And OG from around the way, Oakland native as well, is doing the same. This is everybody's favorite, man, Richie Rich.
Hitting my line, talk about, man, where you going? Where you going? Out of California? The fuck out of California? Yeah, California is on its way down the drain. You hear me? Yeah, your local legislators, your motherfucking state legislation, they selling this motherfucker dirt cheap. You understand me? Yeah, they giving immigrants benefits. You hear me? They giving checks to homeless people, bro. I'm not against immigrants. I'm not against homeless people. But they not giving me no motherfucking checks. The schools is fucked up. They not teaching the kids nothing. They not paying the teachers to teach the kids nothing. Yeah, my favorite restaurant, La Chevelle, out of here. My favorite football team, the Oak Raiders, out of here. Favorite basketball team, Warriors, out of here. Favorite baseball team, A's, out of here. Yeah, man, everybody is getting the fuck out of California, me included. Yeah, I'm gonna tell you, around here, the cost of living is going up and the chances of living are going down. Yeah, how about that? Yeah, California, the people who legislate for us don't live here. They selling this motherfucker out. All the homeless people you see in these Scooby and the Ghost Chaser motorhomes parked everywhere, they not even from here. But it's so much free money going on. Yeah, free money, food stamps, all the shit. Yeah, California is over with, baby. You understand me? Yeah, you heard it from me. Fuck California. Hug the loved ones, kiss the babies, and fuck.
It's just crazy, man, to hear that from Richie Rich, an Oakland native, somebody who's, you know, held down the Bay, not only musically, but just, you know, with his presence in so many different occasions. It's a shame. You're turning loved ones, people who are beloved in this area, against not only the Bay, but California as a whole. He cited the loss of, you know, sports teams and how they traveled from Oakland to different places. And now you look at the Coliseum, the A's getting ready to move. This ain't the sports show, but I'll give a little tidbit of information. They might be going to Sacramento in the interim. It's definitely not going to be overnight that they're able to knock down existing buildings and make that Coliseum, stadium, whatever they're going to have going on in Las Vegas. With that being said, Oakland's not really playing ball, pun intended. This ain't the sports show, but even, you know, they were trying to bring over maybe a lesser, you know, maybe like a equivalent to the G League, right? Minor league team over to the A's old home in the Coliseum and call them the Ballers, the Bees. But that's no longer an option either. Shit's just getting kind of out of pocket. You know, I love the Bay Area. I obviously love California. I've traveled to different states and spent some time there with the intention on moving. But all in all, you can't beat, you know, the weather, the vibes, the vernacular, the talent, and just the overall culture that comes from the Bay. But nowadays, it just seems like the culture is shifting in a different way. We were so original in our music. We were so easy to point out. You know what I mean? You could be anywhere in the world and find somebody else from the Bay and just tell. Y'all could lock eyes and everybody would know. A certain song come on, you know, they dance a little different. Something happened, like, slang would always be a quick giveaway. The way you wear your clothes, you know what I mean? The way you put together a fit has always been something that you could tell it would be original to not only, you know, the Bay, but different parts of California, whatever region it may be. Now it just seems like all the wrong things are something that you can point out, and it's unfortunate. And I don't know what's going to change or how it's going to change. I know that this is a more often than not thrown at politics. I'm not the politician, dude. I'm not here to say that I'm, you know, one way or the other. I just really feel like shit has to change. And if it doesn't, I don't know anybody out here is going to survive. Tough way to transition, but you know what I mean? While we talk about the loss, we have to also discuss that today marks 4 years since the horrific helicopter crash that claimed the lives of Kobe Bryant, his daughter Gigi, and also John Kerry, Alyssa Altobelli, Peyton and Sarah Chester, Christina Mauser, and Ara Zobanyan. I make a point to definitely shout out everybody else's name because although, you know, the main key figures that people are going to know if you discuss this is going to, of course, be Kobe and Gigi. The other lives lost in this place, you know, at this time during this tragedy need to be spoken of as well. 4 years have passed and it just seems crazy. That's as time of recording. I mean, it's insane to think about. You look at posts, you know, from Kobe's family, from Vanessa Bryant and the children and their growth and how much they've matured in these 4 years. And you only could think about, you know, how 4 more years would look on a Kobe, on a Gigi, where they would be, where the sport of women's basketball would be with Kobe headlining things, of course, with his daughters in mind and little girls all across the world. But, of course, you know, the other families that were affected by this, one completely wiped out. If I'm not wrong, I just feel like it's important to make sure to speak their names too, because over time, some people are able to, unfortunately, block things out, easily forget. And that might be a naive statement. Maybe it's not that they've easily forgotten. Maybe it's just not easy for them to speak about things. But to me, I think it's time to give people a reminder, man, to gather and give thanks, to celebrate lives that were lost in the physical and make sure that they remain here spiritually. Or remain alive in your conversations and any time that you get together. Your get-togethers, make sure that they are a focal point. Whether that's discussing those stories, if at the very minimal, you know, taking a shot in their name, whatever it is that you do, whatever your vice is, just make sure that you continue to breathe life into those that were unfortunately robbed of theirs. I ain't gonna serious this out. It's a Friday. I'm vibing. And we got some good music that dropped as well. For the first time in a long time, I feel like it's kicking up again. January was promising as far as, you know, looking back on 2023 and music and how that shit was going. Pretty discouraging to say the absolute least. Now we're here in 2024, a month in. Got some projects already saved that I want to go revisit towards the end of the year. As far as trying to rank them and see where things land. Benny the Butcher. Def Jam debut. Universal Music, please. Leave me the fuck alone.
Yeah. I know they keep wondering. I know they keep wondering when this shit gon' stop. Time. Ain't such thing as time. Time is man-made. You know what I mean?
New Bang the Butcher album, Everybody Can't Go, Def Jam debut.
This shit'll never stop.
12 tracks produced by Alchemist and Hit-Boy right down the middle, 6 and 6. Features include Lil Wayne, Kyle Banks, Snoop, Stove God Cooks, Armani Caesar, Jadakiss, Babyface Ray, Peezy, Westside Gunn, Conway the Machine, Rick Hyde. What you're listening to right now is Griselda Express, featuring Conway, Westside Gunn, and Rick Hyde. I want to be honest with y'all, man. I was 3 listens in. By the time I'm taking these notes, I'm about 4 in now. And I was going to kind of come here with some hesitance for the fact that, you know, the 3 songs that were released ahead of time had me a little bit worried. I don't really like getting those releases from projects, you know, as a bulk. I don't really like more than one. A single's cool. If you want to go ahead and drop another one, I'm okay with that. But when you start dropping 3 of a 12-song project, it just seems like, damn, getting a quarter of it ahead of time. And then maybe it was the choices they chose as well that were kind of, you know, not really sitting well with me when you talk about Big Dog featuring Lil Wayne, In-N-Out featuring Stove God. And then the last one, Braun, right? To me, it seemed like not really my cup of tea. It sounded like a major label endeavor, which is something I never really want to associate with Griselda. Yes, I want them to continue to excel and do, you know, doper things, but I don't really want to look at them as a polish. You know, I don't want everything to sound so manufactured. I want that shit to stay on genuine and remain in that Griselda elk. When I say that in the placement, in the full totality of the project, to me, it was cool. Made those songs more digestible. On top of it, Alchemist showed his ass once again. Pause if applicable. Not to take away from Hit-Boy's production on this joint, but to me, it was just seemed like, man, they're separating themselves, these producers, from the pack. And in a time where everything, unfortunately, sounds a lot of the same, some of these guys, you know, Alchemist, you talk about somebody with so much longevity in this game, still remaining relevant and keeping shit fresh. And then somebody like Hit-Boy, who has the opportunity to work with damn near whoever the fuck they want and still, you know, make sure to be so present on the Hit-Boy, excuse me, on a Benny Def Jam debut. That was dope to me. I want to say something. This might be a hot take. I don't know. You know, first and foremost, I'm happy for Benny and the whole Griselda umbrella. But on top of that, talent-wise, I'm going to say this, and it might be, you know, a hot take, a bold statement. I feel like, as far as talent is concerned, the roster of this Griselda might just very well be, you know, like the new Rockefeller. To those of y'all who don't fuck with Rockefeller, I get it. But to me, back in the days, you know, when you talk about them amassing so many people on the roster, in the era of where there was Jay, Beans, Freeway, Young Guns, shit, they brought over MOP at a certain time, Cameron, you know, the whole Dipset crew, fuck, everybody. Tierra Marie had a hit single for a portion of time. Just to me, it was always just, you know what I mean, they were the pinnacle, especially during their time. If you look at it right now, you look at the roster that's being put together from Griselda, if you talk about everybody's own certain little, you know, branches of the Griselda tree, you talk about Benny with BSF, Rick Hyde came on this track, Griselda Express, and I think, with the exception of Conway, may have took the title, may have had the illest verse to me. It just sounded good in its placement. Everything sounded right. The features on this album, incredible. I don't want to skate past that. Peasy is a fucking monster. I definitely need to hear him on more Griselda projects and just in general. But talent-wise, man, you talk about all these people. You talk about a Stove God Cooks. You talk about a Rome Streets. You talk about drum work with Jay Skies. Love the Genius. You talk about West Side Gunn and just continuing to curate and cultivate dope projects. I don't know if you necessarily want to put a Boldy James in there, but you think about his efforts and the run that he's on. You got to just take all this shit in totality and be like, damn, these guys are setting precedent in this day and age. Kevin Gates dropped the project as well. Ceremony, 17 tracks, no listed features, but I got about 6 songs in. Had to move on, and I did hear a BG feature in there, so it may just be that they weren't listed at the time of release. But I do know that there's some features on there, so I'm sure that there's more. To me, it was a letdown, I'm going to be honest. Kevin Gates, to me, is somebody who's highly talented. I know they have the opportunity, you know, to make dope music or you know, the talent to make dope music. It just didn't connect for me personally. Maybe I'll try to go give it another listen. The BG song wasn't too bad, but I mean, if you were to look at the track list right now, at least at the time that I'm doing this, it wasn't provided, so we shall see. You know, if there's anything else on there that catches steam and that I, you know, go back and hear later on. Black Youngster. He's got his little collaboration album, basically his version of a Dynasty album where he's putting on his people. This is Plugged In. Project is called Black Youngster Presents Heavy Camp. Checkmate. Clearly introducing his roster. Haven't listened to this fully, but a couple of songs in, and we'll definitely go back. Definitely an easy listen. Plugged in the streets, know we keyed in. Still with blood on the town, gotta bleed in, nigga. We ain't got a color in, chopper be stuttering. Too many counters, the money be doubling. A professional as fuck podcast. Hot as a stone, nigga, I keep on bubbling. Gives me early Migos vibes, right? Like all the good parts of Migos, where you just hear a plethora of different voices and they're bringing energy. The production is dope. You never really look at these guys for, you know, the most lyrical miracle type things, but when they get in their groove and put together some dope shit like this, it's definitely something to set the party off. So check that out. Black Youngster presents the Heavy Camp Checkmate Project. Check it out. This one kind of caught me off guard, I'll be honest. I'm not too familiar. Lyrical Lemonade. I needed to go do some research on this, right? An album was dropped. Lyrical Lemonade, All Is Yellow, 14 tracks. When I read some of these features, and this isn't all of them, it's going to shock. Well, I mean, when I give you a little bit more info, but Sheck West, Ski Master Slump God, Lil Durk, J.I.D., Chief Keef, Lil Tecca, Lil Yachty, Sway Lee, Eminem, and I swear there's a lot more I couldn't even mention, but check out some of this music.
Professional as Fuck Podcast.
I was confused at who this was, right? I've seen the Lyrical Lemonade video before, and it was Cordae, and it was, I believe, a Juice WRLD posthumous release as well. So I'm like, is this a group? Is this a label? Is this, you know, what is Lyrical Lemonade? I had to do some research. Quick little Google search, and it showed out that this is actually a 27-year-old white dude from Illinois, listed as a video director, promoter, and producer. Regardless of the details, to me it's a dope project, something that I'm definitely going to go back to. It's got something for everybody's taste, so regardless of what your style of music is, I promise you there's something there for you. I was just confused at how a guy that is not really known by me, and I don't know if maybe I'm just asleep, but could amass this amount of, you know, different types of features and have all these people under a project that seems to be, you know, a debut. Definitely something for y'all to check out. Want to briefly talk about some singles that dropped as well. This is Eric the Architect featuring Westside Boogie Instincts. Just going through these quick and fast because, you know, these labels be on me. It's a fucking shame. What the feezy? Since I heard this joint, it's kind of been on repeat. I'm not going to lie to you. Follow my instincts, Monday to Wednesday. Life is a mystery. Hey. What do my friends think? Some cowards kneel, but they never feel us. They almost killed us, and I'm still here, bro. Not to be outdone, Sundown. 21 Lil Harold featuring J.I.D. J.I.D. is on a run of all runs, man. This guy is definitely taking flight. If y'all are late to the train, please tap in. Put my gun down. The also mega, they get spent till the sundown. If I ain't know you, least the 10, you can't even come around. We'll let it get into the drop real quick. Even when I'm in church, can't put my scrap down. We put niggas on white t-shirt when they get smacked down. Moving on, man. Moving on. I was wondering where Maxo Cream was. Premiered his joint on here, one of his earlier songs, Local Joker. This is a completely different sound. Dope itself, though. Love to see the versatility. This joint's called Bang the Bus, Maxo Cream.
That pussy, when I'ma get my chance to fuck. Me and my niggas, we VIP, walk in, no pat down, blam with up. Girl, your new nigga lame as fuck. Son of money gang, come hang with us. Pour no flick in the Sprinter van. You can bring your friends, come bang the bus. Not just shot to a Batman, them. Matt Black Rover, Batmobile, yellow bomb bitch, the fuck.
If y'all heard the Local Joker track or some of his other music, it's definitely a step out for this man and for his music, but definitely like that. Like I said, I like to hear the versatility. I like to hear the different sounds, different tempo, different vibe. To me, it's dope. Just some of the things I think y'all should check out. On top of that, Shade New York dropped an EP as well. I'm going to get back to y'all on that one. I haven't had the opportunity to listen to any of that yet. Another Griselda affiliate, somebody that I want to definitely shed light on. So I'm going to get a little more educated, bringing that back to y'all. Speaking of bringing it back, man, Offset, when we start talking about tours, upcoming concert dates, I want to also let y'all know about Offset to Set It Off tour is on its way. 17 dates, including March 30th in San Francisco at the Masonic. 17 dates, 13 states, more dates to be announced as well. Definitely was a dope album, dope solo project for that guy. I know that he was facing a lot of adversity, being one of the three members who was kind of left alone on the island following the breakup. Now we all know, of course, rest in peace, Takeoff. Things have kind of, you know, gotten to the point to where people realize it's bigger than, you know, some bullshit. But I thought it was dope for him to be able to step out like that, put together a dope-ass project. One that definitely should be listened to from the year of 2023 and looked back on as a success. Now the tour takes off. March 30th in San Francisco. I seen the LA dates and Phoenix dates. It's all over the place. I saw Toronto as well. So check that out. Lovers and Friends, Las Vegas, May 4th. I kind of been skeptical of this. I thought that I heard of one that was slated to happen and then never did. And I thought maybe this was just some type of scam, to be honest with y'all. Was actually let, you know, informed that that wasn't the case, that they did ring off, that things were going on and happening. This one, I don't know if it's going to be a tour that goes, you know, across the country. I do know that May 4th, they will be in Las Vegas. The insane lineup includes the following, but not limited to. Let me tell you, I couldn't even get through all this shit. Janet Jackson, Usher, Lil Wayne, Snoop Dogg, Alicia Keys, Gwen Stefani, Backstreet Boys, I know. Nas, Mary J. Blige, Ciara, Ja Rule, Ashanti, TLC, MIA, Monica, Eve, Keisha Cole, E-40, Method Man, Redman, Rick Ross, Jeezy, The Dream, literally another 30 to 40 names. And when you got down to the fine print on this flyer, there was still some fire-ass artists. So to me, I'm like, damn, if this shit's really going on, I need to be kind of, you know, informed and let know what's happening here. Is this a festival-type thing? Was it going to be multiple stages? Is this one stage? If that's the case, how long are these sets? Are people able to really go out and get their shit off? Or is this going to be like, you know, 3 minutes here, 5 minutes here at the very latest, you know, or very longest, like 10 minutes? Is that what we're doing? Kind of threw me off, though, because I've seen that some of these artists are going to be doing the entire album. For instance, the Lil Wayne portion of the show is going to be the Carter 3 performed. The Usher portion of the show is going to be Confessions. So to me, obviously, you're seeing people who are going to have a long slate of time, right? Think about these albums. I was in the microwave era where everything was 2-3 minutes. 20 songs, 30 minutes in totality. You was getting 3-5 minute songs on these joints. So to me, if they're really going to do this entire project and you have this many names on it, I got to kind of be filled in and know if, how this goes down, what the process is. Is this going to be multiple days? Is this all one day? Definitely something I'm going to want to find out and get back to. Speaking of tours and possible, you know, shows, BG kind of changing his tone. He's asking for a reunion, a Hot Boys reunion. Since he's been released and, you know, Turk is out there doing his thing, Juvie and Wayne, the Hot Boys reunion tour has been shopped around. Not really shopped around, but discussed. Rumors been rumbling. People been like, what's it going to take? How are we going to get all these guys in the same building to get this shit to pop off? Seems like we're getting at least one person who's with the shit. There goes BG's plea.
Say, Juve, these people on my line, man, about this Hot Boy reunion, man. Man, Weezy, stop playing, man. You know what I'm saying? Big bag involved, man. You heard me? I know you super rich. You know what I'm saying? I know you like Taylor Swift out here. You know what I'm saying? Hey, you know what I'm saying? Come on, man. Stop playing, man. Let's get to this bag. What's in it?
I'll say this about BG. He came home and he got straight to work. He didn't really sound like he missed too many steps. But in his recent releases, he also dissed Wayne in the track. Think he has some words for Birdman as well. And if you're going to do that, then later on ask for a favor. I feel like it's kind of productive to say the absolute least. Just my opinion. We'll see what the future holds for these guys and if anything happens. While we're talking productive and production, one is in the works right now featuring Teyana Taylor, who is going to play the role of Dionne Warwick in an upcoming biopic.
And she wants you to play her in her biopic.
Yes.
Would you want, I mean, is that a role you have your sights set on?
Yeah, we're already working on it.
You're already working on it?
Yeah.
See, because I knew.
Yes.
Because so Dionne was here on the show at the beginning of the year. She's like, all of these things are in motion. So it is a thing.
We're at the building process right now. I've always wanted to make sure like I could lock in.
I'm happy for Tiana, man. I want to clap it up for her, real talk. I'm not going to get into the personal shit that's going on in her life right now. I think it's kind of sick that a lot of people are. I do only want to say that I'm happy she has some positive things to look forward to. And anytime she's touched anything, it's just turned to a success. A true testament of her and her talent, her work ethic, and just her overall ability and focus. Definitely want to check this out. I believe it's going to be a Netflix joint from little bits and tidbits that I've been seeing. Of course, these things could change. Elliot Dame is going to be the overall executive producer of this joint. More will become available as we get closer to a certain date. But overall, man, happy that not only Dionne Warwick is going to be highlighted and given her flowers while she's still here, but that somebody as dope as Tiana is going to be playing a part in it. Now, playing a part, and what part of the game is this? I shared it on my socials yesterday. Actually, it's still up there right now in my story. Freckle tattoos.
What the feezy?
I didn't know if this was a thing. I know in the past people were kind of, you know, looked down upon for freckles. I've never been the type of person to hate on nobody for none of that bullshit. But we're at a day and age now where I'm seeing these posts and this video comes out of these women who are getting tattooed freckles on their faces. I'm not talking about, you know, 4, 5, 6 evenly distributed freckles. I'm talking about looks like somebody just put a bunch of thumbtacks through a fucking poster board, put it over somebody's face and spray painted with red. It looks crazy, man. Imagine Ray Lewis, right? His face paint before he comes out to play a game. But instead, it's just in a bunch of red dots. Not really no method to the madness. This shit is fucking all over the place. It looks fucking crazy. I don't know, man. I know I'm no beauty expert, but in the you know, event that eventually you want to reverse this, is there going to be scars following the laser removal process? I've never really been too knowledgeable about shit like that. Just seems like that could be the case. It looks more like an allergic reaction to me than a fucking beauty expression. But hey, I'm not the guy for that. I guess, you know, I'm just going to sit back and see it. But I mean, be honest with you, shit look worse than a one night stand decision sometimes. You know what I mean? Some of them scragglers. I'm like, what the fuck would possess somebody to want to do this shit? It is what it is. Y'all let me know in the comments if you've seen shit like this, if you know, if you've been involved in something like this. You know, in the video that I seen, it was a lot of the Caucasian sisters, to be honest with you. You know, our fairer skinned ladies. I know it can't be solely on them. I know when these trends get going, you know, it takes a hold of the gender as a whole more often than not. If some shit starts to gather some steam or get hot, that just seems to be the thing. But hey, like I said, freckles is freckles, man. But the way that these shits is being distributed, it just don't look natural at all. And kind of crazy in certain instances. We'll see how this shit goes. Want to bring this news to y'all. Some shit that kind of came across my timeline a little late. I definitely would have featured this in the singles of the new releases, but apparently this joint was actually dropped on Thursday. Megan Thee Stallion's back at it. This joint dropped on January 25th, 2024. One track, one single. Definitely here for a purpose. Shots taken apparently on this joint at Nicki Minaj as well as Drake. Going up against two powerhouses. Definitely feels like she's got the backing to do it. I'm going to play this joint as much as I can without, you know, being in the risk of some bullshit repercussion. And then let's get into the discussion.
I just want to kick this shit off by saying, fuck y'all. I ain't got to clear my name on a motherfucking thing. Every time I get mentioned, one of y'all bitch ass niggas get 24 hours of attention. I'm finna get this shit off my chest and lay it to rest. Let's go.
Let's go.
And if the beat live,
I feel like Mariah Carey. Got these niggas so obsessed. My pussy so famous, might get managed by Christian and X. He can't move on, can't let it go. He hook nose full of that Tina Snow. And since niggas need Megan help to make money, bitch, come be my hoe. All of you bitches is wig on arrival. Talking shit for a Nora can find you. I can never be judged by a bitch that was dancing, making R. Kelly go viral. Hey, I'm sexy as fuck and I'm freaky. Get whoever I want any meanie. Why the fuck would I stay with a nigga that's weak in the sheets and don't know how to please me? Bodies on bodies on bodies on bodies. Say he fuck Megan and now he the topic. These niggas thinking they lowered the value. All this free promo, I'm turning to profit. Hey, when a nigga be kissing the teller. Say he a player, but he in his feelings. Bet I won't give up the pussy again. Shit, shit, add him to his friend. These hoes don't be mad at Megan. These hoes mad at Megan's law. I don't really know what the problem is, but I guarantee y'all don't want me to start. Bitch, you a pussy. Never finna check me. Every chance you get, bitch, your weak ass wanna dress me. Bitches swear they cheat, but the G must stand for goofy. When the fuck did all the gangsta niggas turn to groupies?
I don't know. Definitely shout to Nicki Minaj to Megan Law's statement.
Look so dumb every time y'all celebrate fake news. Using my name for likes and views. I don't give a fuck what y'all make trend. Bitch,
Drake
I still
shots.
Win. Nigga, ain't you here? I ain't scared of dick. Any man go against me, I handle shit. I'm a Teflon Don in the courtroom. Never throwing that dirt, don't shit stick. I don't need little rap niggas so fraud. Xanax be they hardest bars. These niggas hate on BBL and be walking around with the same scars. Real curvy, no etching.
Alright. For those of y'all who don't know, there's been a lot of speculation about, you know, Drake's transformation. You know, being unnatural. They said that this guy went out of his way to go get some things done, some abs sculpted or whatnot. I don't really pay too much attention to, bruh. What I do know is them shots were definitely aiming towards Drake. We heard the lines in there for Nicki, the Megan's Law statement. We know that the husband and father of Nicki Minaj's child is a registered sex offender. You let them tell it, the story is a little bit different. You let the law tell it. Seemed like he was being forceful with an underage lady, a little girl. Let's put that shit in perspective. And now, you know, we've seen him talking shit to Offset, those videos. He sounded like a complete idiot. Pair that along with the fact that Nicki Minaj is rumored to have, you know, issues of her own, vices, and don't we all. But seems like some of these things you can't really get past, right? I mean, the Megan's Law bar was hilarious to me. The clowning on hoes with BBLs and had them same scars. That shit was hard. There's more in there. I'm not at the liberty to play this whole joint and give you the full scope of things. But I will say that she's definitely stepping out and making a name for herself as far as being with the shit. Not running, not hiding from any type of controversy. Nicki Minaj now, she's definitely responded. I'm gonna be honest with y'all, man. I'm not trying to be on either side of this thing. I just feel like, as talented as Nicki is and what we know she's able to do music wise when she gets into her diss bag, it just seems like she's just off. I mean, the Ruby the Sleeve song, right? Well, I don't fuck with horses since Christopher Reeves. Like, to me, that was just low-hanging fruit. I think Eminem did that shit better, and he did it fucking 20 years ago. So I didn't really pay no mind to that or, you know, feed into it much. I just felt like, okay, you know, you could do better. And that's Nicki. She's definitely has nothing to prove to me. She's definitely talented beyond, you know, any words that I could use to describe. But when you talk about the shots that were taken and the response to things, it just don't seem like that shit is on the up and up or in her favor. Let's go through some of these things, right?
Put it this way, we were waiting for you. We were waiting.
I don't know how she released this, but Nicki releases some type of sound.
We were waiting.
Alleged, speaking to Kelsey Nicole, the friend of Megan.
I just got off the phone with Kelsey. Wow. Well, put it this way. Oh, you know what? Just FYI, such and such. You let everyone just be under the bus, be thrown under the bus. You let the baby be thrown under the bus, Tori, your best friend, your mom. You better go conjure up your mother and say and apologize. That you that's disgusting. Somebody said her bodyguard as well. We ain't even gonna run down the list. We'd be here all night. However, remember, you guys chose to constantly make my family the focal point, right? And I don't know if you sucked my DJ or not, but you was his best friend, hitting him every day. Can I get on Queen Radio? Can I get on Queen Radio? I go on live, you begging my fans, tell her to add me, tell her to add me. And I don't know if you sucked my DJ or not.
I don't know. That shit just, what are we doing here? What the fuck are we doing here? And then there's more. Let's see. This is in the form of just text on I guess, X or Twitter, however you want to call it. Her response was, Megan's Law, for a free beat, you can hit Megan Raw, hashtag Roman, or, you know, signed Roman. And another one where it says, repent, wicked woman, repent. Tyler, the Creator, shown saying, at Nicki Minaj, this is sick. Tina Snow, that's the, I guess, ex handle for Meg Thee Stallion. She says, my mama really want me to slap her in the motherfucking face. Nicki's response is, we're a disgusting serpent. Y'all post party song under this. They paid to make it disappear. Let's go. Lying on your dead mother is insane too, but party said it. Apparently Nicki Minaj says she has text messages, videos, and other shit that she'll be willing to let go. Should things continue in this type of spicy realm. Talking about family members, talking about how Meg apparently lied on her dead mother, lied to Gail. Took her best friend's man and explored shit with him sexually. This all stems, I guess, the beginning of this. For those who are kind of not in the know, I kind of saw this come across the feed and was reminded. Apparently, when these two were cool, Nicki Minaj was somewhere out with Megan, and Megan wanted to, you know, turn up with her. We all know that Megan likes to drink. It's gotten her in trouble in the past. To say the absolute least, but this comes from Nicki letting her know that, no, we're actually trying for a child. I want to become a mother, and I guess this is at a Roc Nation brunch or something. I don't know. But Megan was trying to pour, you know, liquor down Nicki Minaj's mouth and into her throat and whatnot. And Nicki just basically expressed to her that, nah, that's not what we're doing. I'm trying to, you know, become a mother. Had different things on my mind. I don't know what's true and what's not. I do know that if we're talking about purely the diss songs, or the exchanges in an attempt to diss one another, I would have to say that Meg's got the upper hand in this joint. The Megan Law bar alone is something that you can't really come back from, no matter what you want to do, however you want to paint somebody, or what light you want to put them in. Has Megan lied on multiple occasions? Absolutely. In my opinion, has every human being walking the face of this earth? Absolutely. When you talk about a stench that really can't be removed overnight, you're talking about your father of your child being attached to something that's that egregious, something that you really, I mean, for me, for one, that's some shit I can't look past. Now, is there certain instances I think that maybe, you know, things like this could happen, whether it be somebody, you know, urinating in public and then that being somewhere, you know, in the view of somebody else, and then you get put on the list that way. I could see instances where it'd be like, oh man, they took that shit out of proportion. That's the reason why you always want to be careful regardless of what you're doing. But when the story around this whole thing is an underage girl being forced into any type of sexual acts or any type of relationship in general, it just seems crazy to me. Unfortunately, there's more news to report on this. I know this ain't a sports show, but in reality, this is more just like a pop culture topic for me. I mean, as a young man who grew up, you know, born in 85, that was like the pinnacle time of wrestling from 85 all the way up to, you know, I would say the late 90s was like the melting pot of the success of professional wrestling. In regards of like a WWF, WWE, however you want to call it, right? Now, growing up with this type of shit, you grew with it. At a certain time, you know, it was good guy, bad guy. Then it turned into more reality-based topics, more salacious shit. As they geared towards a different demographic, things got a little bit more sexual. You started seeing things that you wouldn't really expect to see, especially if you're someone who watched the product of yesteryear. Not to be absolved, you know what I mean? A lot of these skits, a lot of these things that were performed and things that were done, it was revolving around the CEO, Vince McMahon as well. I know a lot of people are going to be lost in this subject, but there's a lot of different shakeups that have been happening. For instance, the merge of UFC, WWE, and the parent brand TKO is now, you know, taking over sole, I guess, controlling rights the man in charge of TKO has. There's been changes as far as the board of directors, CEOs, and things like that attached to the branch of WWE as well. I'm not 100% sure on the business of this, but I think it goes to who was known in his wrestling days as Triple H and his wife, Stephanie McMahon, the daughter of Vince, seem to be the ones in control of things. I say all that to say this. A guy who was such a control freak as Vince McMahon was rumored to be his entire life. The fact that even though he's getting up there in age, you know, things move so quickly in a different direction with changes coming, it just seemed a little bit out of the norm for me. I'm not really in the know too much about a lot of these things, but when it came across my feed that he was stepping down for reasons that were unrelated to age and just, you know, a transition point, I read into it a little bit further. Sexual allegations and accusations have come across and been introduced in a recent trial, a recent case involving Vince McMahon and some other board members, along with, I guess, at least one talent, one character, I guess you would say, in his roster. Y'all could go do the research yourselves. I'm not going to say this young lady's name. I will say that she is brave for stepping out and doing what she's doing. Had an opportunity to read through some of the court documents attached to this case, see some of the filthy and egregious statements that were made. See that, just to give you the gist of things, imagine a young lady who was going through turmoil in her personal life, taking care of her family members, her parents, to be 100% transparent, during a difficult time while they were passing. And then, you know, certain people in her, I'm sure, very expensive apartment or wherever she's living, I guess she was neighbors with said CEO Vince McMahon, former CEO at this point. And I guess, you know, Vince is upstairs in the penthouse. She's just, you know, another patron or another occupant of that building. Very well-known and well-liked in that specific dwelling. On top of that, once she was, you know, going through that process in tough stages in her life, whether it be financial or, of course, emotionally, she reached out to certain people. Those people, in turn, you know, did what they could for her, put her name out there and you know, said a good word for her in regards to Vince McMahon, who got the information. I don't know if he had met the young lady or seen the young lady or what it was, but responded with yes, would definitely be able to help. Gave her a job and position at the company. One that started off as an entry-level position, but eventually, I guess, was promised to go further. Attached to these promises were certain asks from Vince as well. Based on the comments that I've given you earlier, you could kind of go down the pigeonhole, you know, kind of find for yourself what kind of asks and propositions those were. Some of the details of this case, at least the way they were displayed inside of these documents, look completely egregious, some disgusting shit. When you look at this guy in the age that he's at now, some of the things that he wrote himself in for, in some of the skits that I remember vividly as a young man, some of the storylines that went into play using certain family members, pretty much demoralizing his wife on certain occasions for, I guess, the brand, for content. Can I see him being a complete, you know, different type of beast behind locked doors? Of course. Talk about people in these power positions with this type of money and feeling like they're untouchable. It's definitely something that I could see being true and being the case. But it's very telling that this guy's stepping down. There's certain moving parts and moving pieces to this brand and to this company have changed in the way that they have and as fast as they have, and it's all these different things going on. Important to note that this was going to be a monumental time for their company as their flagship show, their Monday night show that has been going on for, fuck, the eternity of my life, I believe. Raw is the name of their Monday night show. It's been home on VA, the home of that show has been USA Channel for a long fucking time. I know they traveled at one point, came back. News broke that this is actually going to be one of the first efforts of Netflix to do live sports. I knew that they were going to have to get their head into that, into that race, and this is how they chose to do it. Going forward in 2025, the new home will be Netflix. There will be a live sports edition. This is, I guess, going to hike up the prices for Netflix as well. Just seems like with all these things going on, for this guy to step down at a time where it's really time to, you know, put a feather in your cap, another notch under the belt, it read fishy to me without this knowledge. Now with all these things added included, I am not surprised that there had to be some type of other shit in the works behind the scenes that has this going the way that it is. Sick shit. Tough times. Definitely want to send love to that young lady. I know that a lot of times when people have paper like this, and even those who don't, it's very difficult to expose them, per se, to shed light on the darkest parts of people who others look at like, you know, wonderful businessmen or shit, heroes even some. This is a guy who spends a lot of time with Trump, had Trump involved in his joint in the past. I'm not trying to, you know, say anything, but I feel it's important to add. We know the type of friends that that guy keeps. It's crazy. There's also talent names that have been involved. I'm not going to, you know, expose any of that. I'm going to let business go as it does and see what happens. But like I said, you know, prayers and loves to that young lady, and hope that this court process goes the way that it should. And regardless of who's in the right or who's in the wrong, who's telling the truth or who's lying, that the truth finally, you know, at some point, you know, comes to the light. And if any of the allegations or accusations that this young lady is casting in his direction are true, it's going to be a difficult road going forward, regardless of who the CEO is of this company, for people to be able to continue to be a fan, a contributor to that brand. Now, as always, I don't want to end on no somber moments. So what we're going to do for the duration of 2024 is end on a positive and good news note. This may be more of a sports topic, but it's good news, and we got to bring it to the light, man. I want to send love to a true inspiration. Young man who was told he would never be able to walk again after becoming paralyzed finished a marathon. He was using walking sticks, got close to that finish line, decided to shed those, walked across on his own strength. Timur Rov is his name. I'm going to share this on my socials as well. The moral of all this, man, is don't ever let nobody else's insecurities be a deciding factor on why you're not able to go out and do whatever it is that you want to do. Difficulties and challenges are continuously going to come our way in the form of many different, you know, vessels. Sometimes it's things that you see coming, more often than not, it's those that you never did. When tragedy, when stuff like this happens in your life, I think it's a make or break moment for you. If it didn't make you, it can't break you. If you take this shit and you shake it and you continue to do whatever you got to do, then you just continue to be not only a hero in my book, but a blueprint for those who are also dealing with the same. When you're given the opportunity to go and excel and do things that nobody thought was possible, just let them know that you're not nobody. It's just somebody, and your name is going to be remembered. Now, before we get out of here, I want to definitely give highlight to Vic Sage for submitting his music. If y'all want to have your shit featured, make sure that you get to unprofessionalafpodcast@gmail.com. This is Vic Sage, Kuwait, once again. Episode 227 is in the books, ladies and gentlemen. We got more shit on the way. Sports show definitely on the way. Conference championships going down this Sunday. Regardless of whether you still have a team in the race or not, we all going to be tuned in. A lot of exciting shit coming, not just for the pod, but hopefully in business life as well. Going to keep y'all tapped in and tuned in the way that y'all stay tapped in and tuned in to the show. As always, thank y'all for that. Till next time, find what makes you happy and return the favor. I'm going to holler at y'all later. Go on.
They get some money and they blow it on vape. I don't flex, but I'm pushing all the weight. Told them all, I swear I got it's what it takes.
Unprofessional as fuck podcast.
What a day. Swear to God I need it, now I can't afford to wait. I just had a fan hit me up from Kuwait. Told him this would happen, and we not a minute late.